loitering, trespassing, petty theft. Commit one of these low-level crimes and you might be charged with a misdemeanor.
Misdemeanor is a minor offense. Usually the term means that you cannot be sentenced to more than 1 year of incarceration.
That's Alexandra Notopoff, a professor of law at the University of California, Irvine. And she says that about 13 million misdemeanor cases are filed every year in the United States. That's compared with just 3 or 4 million felony cases.
It's an enormous world of low-level offenses, of low-level conduct, and it represents about 80% of American criminal dockets. It's pretty much what the American criminal system does most of the time.
And yet, Notopoff says the system is deeply unfair, and there's not much public discussion about it. She's the author of the new book, Punishment Without Crime: How Our Massive Misdemeanor System Traps the Innocent and Makes America More Unequal. In it, Notopoff argues that we need to start paying attention to how misdemeanors impact our country now.
It's a way that the American criminal system operates that, that we just haven't paid attention to, and yet it's so influential. It touches so many lives and so many families. It's a very sloppy system. Laws are often ignored. People are not getting lawyers. It's very fast. People are often swept through the system in ways that we just don't see in serious cases. And because it's so influential and yet so sloppy, it does all kinds of work that I don't think that we really appreciate the implications of it. It's criminalizing millions of people. It disproportionately touches the poor, people of color, stripping people of their wealth. It takes a lot of money from people. It locks people up all the time. It's just an incredibly powerful state apparatus.
So you were previously a public defender in Baltimore. Can you give us an example of what you witnessed and how the system operates unfairly?
I want to tell you a story that I tell in the book because I think it's so important and hasn't gotten the kind of attention that it deserves. Baltimore police are kind of locally famous for using loitering as a way of clearing corners. They round people up, they arrest them for loitering, and those folks end up in the criminal system. Turns out that by law, it's kind of difficult to loiter in Baltimore. It requires impeding the free flow of vehicular or pedestrian traffic. That's what Baltimore law says. And the courts in Maryland have said, you know, most of the time when people are arrested for loitering, they're probably not actually loitering. And so what that means is these people who are being locked up, incarcerated, having pressure put on them to plead guilty, often because they can't make bail, that means they're probably pleading guilty to a crime that they did not commit. And that phenomenon of people getting swept through the system and being pressured to plead guilty, particularly in these low-level offenses, generated an enormous amount of injustice, wrongful convictions, in ways that I think we really need to be paying attention to.
Are those misdemeanor convictions correlated to quotas that police have to fill?
One of the things that police tell us and that we are starting to learn about misdemeanor policing and misdemeanor processing is that many police officers feel under pressure, either formally or informally, from their departments to produce misdemeanor arrests and citations. It's a way of measuring productivity. And what they tell us is it forces them to make arrests or issue citations that they wouldn't otherwise make. That's a way of saying that police officers don't necessarily feel that there is enough evidence to bring this person in or to charge them with a crime. And that's the beginning of the process. It's the beginning of the net, if you will, that sweeps people in. And so one of the recommendations I make in the book, and I'm not alone in this, many organizations have called for the elimination of this pressure on police officers to meet a quota, to meet a certain number, to prove that they're doing their jobs. It's not a good measure of good policing.
What about when it comes to money? I'm thinking back to Ferguson, Missouri, for example, around the time that Michael Brown was killed, and the reporting that came out of that also showed that there were a disproportionate number of Black residents of that community and surrounding communities who had essentially been targeted for traffic violations. And ultimately, those tickets were then paid off and in many ways used as a revenue generator. Are misdemeanors a revenue generator for police departments or states or cities?
It would be hard to overstate the importance of money in driving and in many ways distorting the misdemeanor system. As you just pointed out, often people end up in jail or end up facing misdemeanor charges precisely because they cannot afford to pay a fine or a fee. They can't afford to pay a traffic ticket. They can't afford to pay the registration on their car. We have criminalized that form of poverty and turned it, in effect, into a basis for imposing misdemeanors. People do time when they fail to pay their fines and fees, so they may not be sentenced to jail up front, but jail is always lurking in the background as a kind of a threat to low-income people, to working people, to poor people, if they can't pay those fines and fees. We're just starting to appreciate the impact of bail, cash bail, which is effectively incarcerates people who can't afford to pay even very what might seem to be low levels of bail, a few hundred dollars. That's a lot of money for a lot of people. And then again, as you mentioned, there are reasons, there are institutional reasons why the criminal system has turned to fines and fees and bail in this way, because so many of the institutions rely on that revenue stream, courts and probation offices, public defender office, prosecutor offices. So it's an enormous world of wealth stripping, regressive, effective taxation. We're taking the money from vulnerable people in the criminal system to fund and run the criminal system itself.
I imagine you see racial disparities in these numbers as well.
The misdemeanor system, I think, has not gotten its fair share of blame for the ways that it has racialized crime in this country. It's the first great threat to racial equality in our criminal system. That net, that misdemeanor net, is the first moment when people of color are disproportionately swept into the criminal system. They're disproportionately arrested for low-level offenses like trespassing, loitering, like the Baltimore example I mentioned earlier, jaywalking. That's the first moment that the criminal system goes after people of color in a disproportionate way, and it shapes every subsequent step of the system.
Ultimately, what are you hoping to accomplish with this book?
I'm really hoping to accomplish two things. So the first is the misdemeanor system is an incredibly important public institution. We need a low-level criminal system that works well and fairly and according to law. And my hope that is that this book will help people understand this public institution that hasn't gotten enough attention and give us ways to understand how we might improve it and improve its integrity. But the other hope is really, in a way, a deeper hope. We need to rethink what we mean by the term criminal when we call people criminals. Because for millions of Americans in this country who are swept into the misdemeanor system and who get a criminal conviction, they really haven't done anything bad. They haven't done anything harmful. They haven't even done anything that we might think is wrong. In 25 states, speeding is a misdemeanor. We label so many things crimes and we sweep in so many people. I think we need to rethink, what does it mean that we label people criminals, and we need to back off that harsh and dehumanizing approach.
Alexandra Nadipoff is a professor of law at the University of California, Irvine, and author of the new book, Punishment Without Crime, How Our Massive Misdemeanor System Traps the Innocent and Makes America More Unequal. Alexandra, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.